This podcast may contain adult language and themes, or it might not. We're not really sure. We haven't recorded it yet.
I'm Jason.
I'm Diggs.
I make software, music, and podcasts.
I connect people, personally and professionally, and I like talking with Jason.
This is the Candy Factory 5x5 podcast.
Five conversations.
Five random topics.
5 minutes each.
When we hear this sound,
we move on to the next topic. Next.
On every episode, we invite a very special guest to join us.
Hi, my name is Sarah Billings. I'm a social worker, and I work for York City School District, overseeing a after-school program in 6 of our K-8 schools.
That's awesome. Welcome to the program.
Thanks.
It's so nice to have you on. Diggs had sent me a request saying it was Sarah, but I don't think your last name was there. I didn't know. I was like, I wonder who Sarah is. Then I found out it's you, and we know each other.
Yeah, there's a lot of Sarahs.
There are a lot of Sarahs.
This is true.
There were a lot of Jasons, but the Jason was a popular name like in 1971.
Yeah.
And then it really trailed off. There's not a lot of younger.
Yeah. Younger Jason. I'm the child of the 80s, Sarah Elizabeth.
A lot of Sarahs. Mm-hmm. There are a ton of Diggses.
Oh yeah.
So many.
Running all over the place.
Just everywhere. I swear.
Well, Sarah, I'd love to know what's school looking like right now, since you said you're running an after school program.
So school, it's Teacher Appreciation Week. So shout out to teachers. FYI. I don't know when this will be posted, but so our teachers are doing virtual teaching with our kids. They set up certain, sort of tasks that the kids need to do, and different resources for them. And then my staff, the after school staff, has been reaching out to the families and offering help with homework. And then we're also doing some online stuff. So we started a Facebook page, Bearcat Scholars After School.
Oh, yeah.
And we're posting little videos and stuff.
Oh, that's cool.
Nice.
Yeah.
So you're staying connected. You're able to mm-hmm. do it enough virtually to keep that connection. That's fantastic.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Sarah and I go back to the first TEDx Lancaster conference. We were on the committee together, the organizing committee. Diggs, how do you and Sarah know each other?
Is it the Brimehurst?
Yeah, mutual friends.
Okay.
And I remember Diggs when he was just, little baby Diggs.
Just a lad.
Like sophomore in college.
Yeah. Little time flies.
He's all grown up now and sharing the stage with me here at 5x5. It's so great to have you on the program, Sarah. We're going to get started. My Thanks. iPad, his name is Frank, is going to serve up 5 topics. We're going to talk about those topics for 5 minutes each. Ooh. We'll hear a little bit of music and we'll move on to the next topic. It's the fastest 25 minutes in podcasting. Are you ready to go?
Yeah, I'm ready.
I'm ready to go too, Diggs.
Yep, let's go.
All right, topic number one for this episode's 5x5 is...
Oh, Frank.
Have you ever had a concussion?
Ooh.
Have you ever had a concussion?
I have not.
I have a slightly complicated answer to that.
Okay. I haven't had one either, so you got about 5 minutes to tell us all about it, Diggs.
So the problem is, it was never diagnosed, but I'm pretty sure I did.
Ugh.
And it was... Because there's a line in the sand where my short-term memory used to be amazing, and then this happened, and then my short-term memory became very crappy. So I was playing Frisbee. I don't remember. I was either 12 or 13. I'm running backwards, and I tripped over a tree root and just thunk.
Wow.
It's like, dangerous.
Yeah, super compacted grass. Like, it wasn't,
The back of the head? Was it just like
back of the head? Yeah, because I was running backwards.
Right.
Oh, goodness.
And yeah, so just completely, those like horrible videos you see of like football players getting laid out. That was kind of me, but just in reverse.
Do you remember did you see stars or like what was it? What was that experience?
The first 5 minutes I don't remember, but I remember being led to my room. I was on a I was on a summer like sleepaway trip in preparation to go to boarding school. So this was the program that I was in to then go to boarding school. So there was a 2-week period every Got summer it. Where you get basically sent away to test out being away from home.
You didn't do so good.
Yeah, no, not that trip. Again, I remember immediately like going to sleep and then waking up in the middle of the night thinking, wait a minute, I could have like died. Like, you're not supposed to do that. And then I stayed up for like the rest of the night.
Oh, right. Just,
yeah.
Yeah. So it never got diagnosed, but I'm pretty sure.
So your short-term memory, like when you were a kid, was really good.
Super good. It was really, really good.
And then you just kind of lost a few notches in the, yep, in the memory belt, just kind of lost them. And is that stayed now for the last whatever however many years it's been?
Oh yeah, I can't. Yeah, my like, I mean maybe this is just getting older, but like the instances where I'm like I start to do a thing,
like texting someone back.
Yes. no, it's even worse
than
that.
I'm very bad at that.
Sarah and I have been very bad at communicating these last couple of weeks. It'd be like 2 days between messages. But no, it'll be like I would start the message and then forget what I was typing. It can be like that. So it's, yeah.
Well, since neither of us have had concussions, let's just shift gears a little bit to like most intense injury. Sarah, did you have a story?
I mean, I have a good concussion story. That's
oh, you
not
do?
Mine.
I thought you said you didn't have a concussion.
I never had a concussion, but my brother is like the most prone to all things.
Oh, okay.
And he had a terrible concussion where he like knocked heads with someone playing basketball and then fell backward and hit. Yeah. And he had already had concussions because he's my brother and he's just, you know, the kid who like jumps off things and whatever. And he ended up in the hospital like because it was really bad. And he's the kind of person who has like dreams about aliens when he has fevers. Like his mind just like runs wild.
So
right?
He's been abducted. Very imagined. That's
right.
Yeah, that's fine.
So that's what he thought was happening when he went to the hospital. And so he like, cause they had to put in like do an MRI or whatever.
Oh, right. So he's in the tube.
Yeah. So he was freaking out. He told off a like nurse or something. He said terrible things to them. And because
well, they weren't nurses, remember, they were aliens.
Right, they were aliens, right, exactly.
Good point.
And then later once my mom got there, he like kind of realized a little bit
that
about
she's an alien too?
On.
Yeah, clearly.
Well, right. No, he already knew that, you know, but it was, you know, they were like friendly aliens. So
Right. Like Casper, the friendly alien, yeah.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So he's very imaginative. And so then he ended up apologizing to everyone he saw in Scrubs because he knew he had said something really mean to someone in Scrubs. So that was like, that's my concussion story. Worst injury was getting my tonsils out.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Worst thing ever.
So you've been pretty safe. I've been pretty safe. Yeah. Like I had a broken collarbone when I was about, I don't know, 13. It was a bike accident. And yeah. I feel like I should knock on something quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I feel like I've been, you know, for the most part, I've been pretty.
And you still bike?
No, I mean, I'm not. It was like I was a kid. I was just dirt biking.
But you bike after?
No, I don't bike.
No, from like, that day on, no more bikes. No, if it's you have at least
I'm a
three
casual.
Wheels.
I'm a casual, but I'm not like a bicyclist or anything like that.
Okay.
But yeah,
that's
so
fair.
Nothing major. But anyway, it's time to move on to topic number two here. On
it's
this
time to forget
five
about.
Five. Yeah, it's time for Diggs to forget about that topic. He doesn't even remember what we talked about.
Not much better.
Topic number two is worst pain you've experienced. So let me just finish my collarbone story.
Yeah.
So we were at the beach. My family would go to Wildwood, New Jersey for a month. My mother was a school teacher, and we had one of those families that the families were friends. You know, we didn't like go to school together or anything, but they had kids about our age. We did. They lived a couple hours away from us over in Butler, Pennsylvania. And and that mom was a stay-at-home mom. So the two families would go to the beach for a month. We'd rent this house and we would take our bikes. And my brother's a couple years older than me. And the boy from that family is between us, right? So it was like the three amigos and we would goof off and whatever. And I was about 12, 13. And I was jumping these dunes, you know, in this part of the beach. And I just over the handlebars I landed on my shoulder. And of course, there was a lot of machismo around that age and that time.
Of course.
And so they were like, you all right? My brother and my buddy were like, you all right? And they would beat me up a lot. And I was like, I think I hurt my shoulder. And of course, they're like, ah, you pussy, get up. And they're kicking mm-hmm. me. And, you know, they're just sort of like, I'd get up, they'd push me. And so I was just like, played it off. You know what I mean? Like, oh, yeah, it's cool, you know. And I ended up going home to the condominium we would rent. And I was like, I'm just going to go lay down in this bed and just kind of try to sleep this thing off or whatever. So I made some excuse and went into this bedroom. And I lay there for about maybe an hour or two. Mm. Just like, oh my God, like I am dying. And finally I came out and I said to my mother, I was like, I think I did something to my shoulder. So she took me to the you know, the ER in Wildwood, New Jersey. And we had a neighbor who lived there permanent. Like, you know, we rented mm-hmm. this bottom of this house. And so we had kind of made friends with this neighbor. And she said, when you go in, make sure you scream, like sob and scream, and they'll take you right in.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. Great idea.
Good tip.
Yeah.
So we went in, and because it was packed. I mean, it was just all tourists and, you know, it was just packed with people. Yeah. So we went in and I just caused a big scene and they took us right back. It was great.
Wow.
But yeah, so for the next 3.5 weeks at the beach, I was in a figure eight brace and a sling, and it was pretty miserable.
Wow.
That's the worst. Yeah. That's probably the worst pain, besides having some fiberglass in my eye.
But, oh, yeah, casual.
I'm sorry, what?
You know.
What was that?
Yeah. What do you mean?
You know, some fiberglass, you know, like some fiberglass.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, when you get fiberglass in your eye, you know, Diggs, like that.
Yeah, that happens all the time. It's just... fiberglass in my eye for breakfast. Yeah.
I was working with insulation without the proper facial covering. Anyway. So Diggs, was your concussion the worst pain? Probably not.
No, because I was used to headaches.
Yeah, and you just were knocked out and saw the light for a few minutes.
I'm trying to think. Worst pain was probably when I wrenched my knee in tennis. Because I that was fun. I slipped on a ball. In the middle, it was either practice room. It must have been a practice. Yeah,
you
slipped
play the
on
the
ball.
Dangerous sport, Stiggs.
I really do. These people always think tennis isn't you know.
No, it's tough.
Brutal.
Yeah,
I can't play it.
No, everyone can play. You just have to find your level.
That's a good point.
I can't play it.
Yeah. No, seriously. Because unless you truly don't have hand-eye coordination.
Right. Like I said, I can't play it.
All right. We'll work on this. I believe in you.
Okay.
Yeah, that's probably my worst pain.
Yeah.
Tonsils still, Sarah?
I got to go back to the tonsils. Let me tell you, that is, if you know an adult who's having that surgery, please
thoughts and prayers.
Do something for them, but there's not much you can do. You know, you can't even have sherbet. You
really?
Can't eat ice cream. You can't have sherbet because you can't have
wait a minute. Why is sherbet the first thing that popped in your head?
Well, because that's the go-to.
Well, because I found out that I couldn't have ice cream. So then I thought, I'll have sherbet. No, it has dairy in it. But I ended up, the scar like tore. People are going to love this podcast. The scar like tore, and I had to go to the hospital because if you bleed at all, they're like coming right away because, you know, you could bleed out and I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Boy.
So then they had to, without numbing, chemically cauterize the back of my throat.
Holy moly.
It was great.
Okay.
Great.
So you were an adult.
This is like a couple years ago.
Yeah, see, when kids do it, you just sort of go, you'll be fine, kid. Everyone gets it. You know, don't worry about it. But that's
a
completely
worse for
different
adults.
Experience.
Yeah, it's worse
a lot
for
of things
adults.
Are. A lot of things are. The kids are sort of... I had one of my daughters had her appendix out when she was 4.
Oh, so little.
Yeah, tiny little kid. And she was just moaning through the night. And we took her to the hospital and we're like, we got to take her appendix out. And of course, you're like... What?
No.
But she made it. She's a tough kid. She's a junior in high school now, so.
Wow.
She's awesome. She's doing just fine. But anyway, it's time to, I don't even have anything. I don't have a segue for this, but we're just moving on to topic number 3 because we got to get away from the pain.
Thank
and let's talk God. About cassettes, which to me is even more pain.
Wait, why?
Are you sad? Or?
No, here's why.
Do you miss them?
No, I don't miss them at all. Okay. It was the most dreadful technology. Ever besides Bluetooth, because I was a musician. So there's this whole renaissance around cassettes right now, right? Like especially with musicians, like there's a bunch of musicians who like independent musicians and whatnot who are releasing albums on cassette. You know, people in their 20s.
Hipsters.
Yeah, hipsters. Because because there's some sort of like strange analog nostalgia around it. Like, oh, cassettes sound better or better. I don't know. I don't know what the hell it is. I call it desired inconvenience, because it's because when you lived through cassettes, you couldn't get away from them fast enough.
Yeah.
Like when the compact disc was invented. Okay, let me just back up a little bit, because
but CDs are so fragile. Like, I feel like
cassettes are more fragile.
Really?
Oh, if you leave a cassette in the car in the summer,
it is
done. And the whole point of cassettes was mobility, right? I grew up in the, I was a teenager in the 80s, and so the idea of leaving the house and taking your music with you in a boombox or in a car stereo was just miraculous, or a Walkman. Yeah. It was glorious. Mm-hmm. But so you had to put everything on cassettes to do it. You can't take a vinyl record, right? And put it in your car.
Just sing all your songs. They come with you. You always have your music with you, Jason, in your heart.
You're right. That is a warp-free option.
That's how I live my life.
In any event, this whole idea that cassettes are somehow meant to come back is just ludicrous to me. I have no desire in entertaining this. I challenge any of these young people who are doing this in 10 years from now to argue to pose the same argument with me that they're making today.
Did you know that they were coming back? I didn't know.
No, I had no idea.
I was at a show in Philly about 5 years ago, and it was like a club show, and young band playing, and I went out to their merch table, and they had these cassettes, and I was just in a mood that night, and I picked up the cassette, and I looked at this poor woman, like 20 something year old woman behind the table, and I said, "You couldn't fucking pay me to take this thing." And she was just like mortified. She was just like, "Get out of here, grandpa." You know what I mean? Like, get out of here.
Yeah, exactly.
So I threw the thing down and walked away. No, but I wasn't.
So you warped it.
That's right. This cassette was hosed because I threw it on the table.
No, I liked recording myself on them when I was little.
Oh yeah, that part of it was great. But the idea of having them be your primary source of music media.
That's cooler than like digital recording, I feel like. Just felt cool.
Oh, like the idea of recording
on like a little recorder thing that I would press, and I would record myself reading books.
You made your own books on tape?
I was the oldest, and the younger kids, you know, they needed a lot of attention, so I just did stuff like that.
Well, shit, I'll just record myself, then I can go get a sandwich.
Yeah, well, I'll record myself, and then it's like someone's reading to me.
That's fantastic.
That's this was for your benefit, not for their benefit.
Oh, I thought you'd entertain the kids and go run around.
I recorded myself reading a book about a children's book about all the saints. They were like biographies about all the saints. I was obsessed with it. And I was also obsessed with Pompeii. I had a book about Pompeii and I was obsessed.
Oh.
Was this the color one where they do the recreation? It's like the people that look like it was in my head what Sodom and Gomorrah looked like when they turned around. Does this make any sense?
It's not making sense. No, not at all.
The Pompeii book?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because there were two picture books at the same time that I got at the same time.
But it had words in it too. Sorry, it's not just a picture book.
Right, yes. So I think the same artist did both books. So one of them had a picture of the Sodom and Gomorrah scene where they're like running away and then they turn into salt. And then that is Sodom and Gomorrah, right?
You're asking the wrong guy if you're looking at me.
I'm asking the saint lover.
I don't know.
I'm going to pretend that's the right story. But then
I have to look this up, Dix.
Well, yeah, because it was crazy. Because I feel like they took the same people and then put them in the Pompeii scene and just made it like... That was the volcano.
But it was very well illustrated. Yeah, it was the volcano.
Oh,
yeah.
It was so cool.
And they put the picture of like the people like who hadn't made it. Mm-hmm. This is such a... Gosh, this is so dark, but like I was obsessed with it.
Apparently there were a lot of words too, because Sarah read it to herself into a cassette player and then would listen back.
Yeah.
Well, it's time to close the book on cassettes and move on to topic number 4 of this episode's 5x5, which is framing art and photos. And it looks like Sarah's frozen. Well, you know what, Dix? In week whatever we are of this whole shutdown, shelter at home thing, doing these virtual 5x5s, this is the first time we've had an experience over Zoom where we've had a technical fail. So not too bad. I think we're 5 weeks into these virtual.
We should insert a yay, like sort of.
We'll
bring it back in when she calls back. But framing art and photos, I think I know why Colin suggested this. Colin was just a guest on our show a couple weeks ago, and he's sneakily a very, very good artist. If you know him, he'll talk about it, but it's not something that he will share sort of like. Of
right, he's not gonna, that's not his elevator pitch.
No. But like, honestly, his stuff is really, really good. We had a conversation about how he chooses to, not just his hand drawing, but also the pictures he draws, what he does to frame them. And I think that's why this came up. Because I personally am not a fan of like buying frames for pictures.
Oh, like snapshots?
Yeah, no, I'd rather let them just sort of be as like, you know, do the framing work with the lens is what I prefer.
Oh, okay.
Obviously, there's certain pictures where you have to put a border or something around it to sell it or to give it as a gift or something like that. But usually I like to let the picture do the talking if I can.
How do you hang the picture on the wall?
I don't normally do that. I like to let them live digitally, at least my pictures. The times I have hung pictures, it was on a string on...
Oh, okay, yeah.
What's the standard picture size, 3x5?
Let's go with it,
5x3? Yeah.
4x6, 3x5, something like that.
Yeah, whatever that ratio is. Yeah, I would just hang them on a string.
Got it. Well, I don't really have a whole lot to say about framing art and photos, but I will comment on your digital picture thing because it's fascinating to me, having lived on really both sides of the idea of taking photos as a keepsake or like a document mm-hmm. of your life. I have so few pictures. Like, I wasn't a camera kid. I knew kids in college and high school who did, you know, sort of, they would have like the little cameras that would shoot. Whatever it was, 12 pictures or 24 pictures to a roll. And they did a pretty good job of like capturing college or capturing the high school memories. I just wasn't into it. You know what I mean? And I just didn't do it. I think I got a camera for like maybe when I turned 13 or 14 and I might've used it at prom. You know what I mean? So I have very, very few photos. But then when digital came out, I guess my first digital camera was around 2000, 2001, a point-and-shoot camera. It was just like I went crazy with it. I'm not a good photographer by any means. Like, I'm definitely not skilled in the art of photography, but I am, I just document a lot of pictures. You know, I take a lot of pictures of my kids or, you know, whatever I'm doing. And welcome back, Sarah.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, that's okay.
That is okay. We noted that out of our COVID-isodes, this was the first major sort of glitch. So we had a good run. Something was bound to happen.
Absolutely. But I'm so glad you could join us again. We are. Do you have any thoughts on framing art or photos?
I have some that I need done. So if anybody would like to do that for me, I have these beautiful prints that I got in Italy and someone needs to frame them for me. So, you know, if you're bored, I have the frames. I'm just terrible at it. My friend who's very good at it, who's too busy to do it right now, caught me cutting one of the prints.
I see.
And she was like, "What in God's name were you doing?" And I was like, "I just thought, I don't know." And like, you know, you start cutting and then you have to cut. It's like cutting bangs.
Totally, man. There's no good ending to this story.
I failed cutting in kindergarten and like, I still am not good at it.
You look like, the thing will look like Trump talking about the thing disappearing. The virus, exactly. You know, it's just this, just this wave.
It's like all over. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Just to finish the thought that I was talking about before is that like, I went from taking like 2 pictures a year to taking 3,000 pictures a year when digital mm-hmm. photography came out. And it's just like now I do have, I do regret it. You know what I mean? That I don't have a lot of photos from my younger time, but.
Yeah. It's so different now.
Yeah. Especially with phones.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's time to move on to the fifth and final topic of today's 5x5, which is, appropriately, favorite desserts. Favorite dessert.
Is your sherbet, Sarah?
No. Have you had the Bundino at Luca?
What is that?
I think it's called a Bundino.
What is it?
Budino? I don't know. It's, I'm going to describe it terribly. I'm sorry, Luca. It's so good. It's like this pudding custard thing. And then it has like cream on top And then there's these like burnt caramely toffee-ish pieces on top that's like crispy. It's just, it's so insane.
So it's like a creme brulee, but different.
Yes.
Okay.
But it's different. So it's like an Italian version of that. So it's a lot heavier and like denser and creamy. Oh my gosh. It's just to die for. Everybody should get one.
We think it's something like a Bandino or Bandaba.
Bandino. B-U-N-D-I-N-O.
Okay, well, that's at Luca. That's Sarah's favorite dessert. Diggs, what about you, man?
I'm boring. Chocolate ice cream.
That's it?
You know, a chocolate ice cream affogato.
I have no idea what you just said. I don't know what you just said.
Dark chocolate.
Yes, dark chocolate. Affogato is just dark ice cream and espresso.
Oh.
But like,
so good.
But everywhere I go, it's always vanilla. And I'm like, why did he pick the most boring?
Well, that's because you put cinnamon on it. And it's so good that way.
Oh, I've never had it. No one's, they've been cheap.
You got to put cinnamon on.
No, I just asked for chocolate.
We got to back up. We got to back up.
Okay.
Jason, you realize you're talking to two New Yorkers. We are serious about our food.
And you're saying all these words that I don't know how to pronounce, and it's driving me crazy here. So let's break this down. So you had an ice cream with espresso. Diggs prefers the chocolate version. Sarah's saying that a vanilla version also includes some cinnamon in the same dish, like with the espresso and the cinnamon?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and a little honey on top.
Yes, I have had the honey way with...
That's for real.
Yeah.
That sounds fantastic. Mm-hmm. I don't know how I've lived almost 50 years and I've never heard of this before.
Luca also does affogatos.
So that is your thing, Diggs? So you're, Okay. Okay.
Good.
Beyond.
Yeah. Good choice.
Beyond
good
just
choice.
The chocolate ice cream.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I am a admitted addict of sweets. I don't know how to describe any of these fancy dishes like you're talking about. I go nuts with it. You know what I mean? Like at Christmas time or whatever, if you bring out the cookies, I will I'll just kill them. Like I can't stop.
What kind of cookies?
Pretty much anything. But my favorite cookies are conference cookies, which are the white chocolate and macadamia nut. We've talked about this before.
Oh, James. Yeah.
The They're the ones that are always at the conferences at the 3 o'clock break. The big ass, the big ass ones.
Like
with they're the big ass ones with the white chocolate and the macadamia nuts. Okay. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
And then there's the cousin chocolate chip that's like the same dough or whatever, but it's the same.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I will kill
those are very sweet.
Oh yeah, richer the better. Richer the better. Like I
but
just
are
love.
But are they richer or are they sweeter?
Well, I just mean super sweet.
Yeah.
Like the kind that most people go, "Ooh, I can't. That's too. Like I can't have more than a bite of that." I just love that.
No, see, I like chocolate that's like so bitter it tastes like, you know,
like
tar.
The 90% whatever when you go in and the bar has the 90% on it.
Yep. Get it at all.
70%.
I will tell you what I like to do at home is I like to take vanilla ice cream, just any kind, doesn't really matter, and take a big old scoop of peanut butter. Mm. Like right out of the Jif, like right out of the thing.
Huh.
And blob that right on top of that ice cream and just jam it in there. Mix it in there. Vanilla ice cream and just regular old peanut butter will be the death.
Now, what's the fancy name for that?
The Mandacanino. Mandacanino. It's an Italian dish. You can't really get it around here. You can.
It's not at Luca?
But I know a guy. I got a guy.
You know a guy.
Cool. I got a guy.
He frames photos and he mixes peanut butter with vanilla ice cream. The guy will take care of you. Just
my dad's the kind of person who he's always got a guy. So like anything you talk to him about, and if you do something and you meet him, you're now
the
guy. And like 2 weeks later, I'll be with him and he'll be talking about, I got a guy for that. And I'm like, Dad, that's my friend who you met one time. You had a 15 minute conversation with. He's like, yeah, he's a good guy. He's a good guy. I'm like, oh my goodness.
So he like indexes it. So like he's just prying for information and then just adds it to his his mental index.
Yes. It's a little Rolex. I got a guy.
I'm gonna bet he's never had a concussion.
I don't know about that.
Don't know about that.
Now you gotta ask him.
He wouldn't remember.
That's it. That's the end of this episode of 5x5. Just sort of went somewhere that one.
Yeah.
Just sort of fluttered where they go.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just have to follow the episode.
the COVID episode.
Sarah, it's a real pleasure to have you on the program. It's good to see you again.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. It's so good to see you. I'm sorry it dropped.
You got any idea what happened? Did you just...
Ever since that storm, the really like crazy windy one, we've been having our internet go out more and more. Mm. We had upped the package when we started quarantine. And now it's happening again. We're getting kicked off. And it's like, I don't know what it is. Yeah. You know, no one else is on it. I don't know. But I was like, oh, crud. And of course, I turned my phone off, you know, because I didn't want to interrupt.
Mm. Could be the neighbors. The music just got so loud, it just vibrated the Comcast box just right off the table. All right, guys, it's great to see you all. Have a great rest of your day.
Yeah, thanks so much.
The Candy Factory 5x5 podcast is recorded at the studios of the Candy Factory,
a co-working campus in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
The show is produced and hosted by Jason Mundock,
along with co-host Robert Diggs, regularly joining the Yakety Yakking.
Editing and additional production
provided by Anna Tran.
The opinions and views expressed on this podcast
are solely those of the expressor.
The Candy Factory is not in any way responsible if anyone said something stupid.
Our theme music was composed
and recorded by a really cool guy.
Really cool guy.
A really cool guy.
Really cool guy named John Chin.
Relevant links and show notes
can be found on the show post
at the Candy Factory website.
coworkinginlancaster.com.
Maybe that's it.
Is that it? Okay.